It's okay. Too late. We already had a bit.
We're back on. What I'm saying was a beard.
This is the most abrupt thing ever.
Perfect.
Yo, we need to
a beard is a term for. Actually, Kyle, this is actually not the most abrupt. It's like subject change. I will find you one.
Urban Dictionary beard.
No, please don't.
I will find you one open Urban Dictionary beard.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that. No.
Stop, Google. Stop.
So. And we're going.
Yes.
We're recording. Okay, Kyle. Now is undressing, so we're off to a good start.
Just adjust.
Sits off again.
Wardrobe malfunction.
So this is Kendrick. We've got Aaron and Kate.
Nice and deep black.
And Kevin that are participating, and Kyle.
I'm not
and
here.
Then other people may participate, and I don't want to say their names and make them feel like they have to participate unless they speak first.
Megan.
Hi, I'm here.
Megan. Megan's here.
Does anybody know
some stuff?
And then Ryan's here. Ryan, one of the contributors for Ethernet.
Crickets.
Does no one read his post?
I haven't written
he hasn't
in
written
a long
in like
time.
6 months?
Yeah, 6 or 4 months. Or maybe.
Dude, I honestly only keep track of the podcast.
I need to get
in 5 years.
Kevin's going to be doing the new bit. That might be live when this is out. Probably will be because I got a big, like, solid back. Anyway.
Backlog? Is
yeah.
That another
uh-huh.
Poop?
We're not supposed to talk about that.
Because it comes out of your back and it looks like a log.
Fair.
Get it?
Okay, so this is the one I've been promising. This is the Blade Runner episode.
What have you been promising this to?
Myself. I'm the only person who listens to this podcast. And
royally.
And it's
I have another listener in the room.
And Kevin.
Mom.
And my mom. And my mom.
Your mom goes to college.
She did for a long time. And yeah,
my
so.
My mom.
You know who else listens to the podcast?
You watch
my mom!
Show, right?
I was just doing the bit, you weren't even listening.
I know, it's because I don't believe you watch cartoons.
And you don't believe that I hate you.
I don't.
That's plausible.
Me too.
Can we talk about regular shows?
There's
going to
be a, so
yes.
The guys for regular show, the guys who do regular show are doing an adult-like kind of
yes.
thing, and I'm
porn?
Like so in.
Yes, that looks fun.
It looks
no.
really cool.
Not porn.
And if you...
It's like almost porn. It's like porn. It's like porn for the brain.
2 in the
brain
AM
porn.
PM or whatever?
Yeah, the original...
Yeah, where like Rigby and all the characters kind of get invented by these two guys doing acid on their job at like a convenience store. It's weird.
Well, it's like if you watch the original Rick and Morty, it is not okay. It's fucked up.
I didn't watch the last episode of Rick and Morty yet.
To be fair,
yeah.
Rick and Morty
yeah,
is...
Yeah, it's getting fucking idiot.
Yeah, no, also, it like, is. It is, but when I say that... When I say that the
well, you know, Doc and Marty's worse.
Yeah, is
Docking Party?
Doc
and
Marty. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, probably watching a Docking Party would be really gross.
That would be pretty gay. Like, yeah, literally gay. So anyway, this is the episode where we talk about...
I'd like to point out the fact that I didn't explain what docking was in the podcast.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. So, this is the one where I wanted to talk about. Do androids dream of electric sheep?
What does that mean?
And, by extension... Blade Runner. Perfect timing.
Just pause it at the start of the
okay.
It's
okay.
Too late, we already had
no,
a bit.
We're back on. What I'm saying was a beard.
This is the most abrupt thing ever.
Perfect.
Yo, we need to
a
talk about
a beard is a term for. Actually, Kyle, this is actually not the most abrupt. It's like subject change. I will find you one.
Urban Dictionary
so,
beard.
No, please don't.
I will find you one open Urban Dictionary beard.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
No. Stop, Google. Stop.
So.
Then look up minivan.
Google a bird. A beard is a woman who's dating or married to a gay guy to make him appear straight. She's often aware that he's gay.
Oh, no, it's a female or male.
Beard?
It's a single
yes,
and
they call
yeah.
it a beard.
Wow, that's
it goes
progressive
both ways.
Feminism for you.
It goes both ways, but that's the term.
Wait,
originally,
so a male
was,
could date
it was a beard,
male
like to oh,
make
got
him
a beard.
Appear straight.
And so it's a way
no.
to make them appear straight.
No. Okay.
It's so that they can
okay.
pass
although,
as straight in situations where
I admire
it's
your
or,
flexibility.
Yeah.
Alternatively,
but do they have to be married?
I'm really progressive.
No, they don't have to be married.
Just
but married makes it a lot easier. Yeah. So anyway, this is the episode. This is the episode where I wanted to talk about Blade Runner.
We've already gotten off this,
Blade
okay?
Runner.
I'm not going
to
be able to
I'm going
to
try so hard to talk about Blade Runner on this episode.
We're talking
so
about
hard.
Regular show, though.
I know, but we're going to get there.
We did get into that.
So, Blade Runner. We've got Kate here, who just read Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, and just, quote-unquote, read the graphic novel adaptation, where they made weird design choices on it.
It was terrible. Don't
yes.
read it ever.
There you go. And then we just went and watched Blade Runner, the 4K director's cut a couple days ago.
The old one.
The new one will probably be out by the time this episode gets.
October 6th.
Oh, maybe not.
Maybe
but
not.
Regardless, we got Kyle, who just has opinions on things.
I watched it once while
yep.
I was drunk.
We got Aaron, who's probably got a much more in-depth, analytical, and intelligent.
He watched it when he was sober.
Too far back, possibly.
Yeah, that's
vague memories.
I saw it as a child as well.
Ryan's also here.
I'm just gonna on purpose.
And Kevin Sears knows how to spell Android.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
most
you.
Most of the time.
Have you
he's
got to
be looking at an Android.
No,
though. Have you seen or read any of them?
No.
Oh, fantastic! This is a great group.
Wikipedia is for.
I've never read the book.
Professor Wikipedia.
I've watched the movie several times over the last decade, but it was a refresher. I was reminded that apparently in the terrible, grim future of 2019, fans move real slow, and everyone's a really heavy sleeper. It's raining all the time. And what was the other one? The other thing that
there's a lot of derelict places.
Well,
yeah.
That's
typical in Dick's work, though.
I'm trying to remember. The author's spelled K. Dick, so there's going to be a lot of Dick jokes. Just getting that out there.
Or just us giggling whenever Ryan says Dick with that much authority. Dicklings agree.
And perhaps a few Philip jokes.
And K.
Yep, I got that K in there.
Potassium.
Yeah, there you go. No one turns the lights all the way on in that movie. Every scene is dim.
Yes.
You're like, guys, just buy a fucking light bulb. Like, turn the lights on. Why is it so dark in here?
It's dark, darkness, and then, like, neon light.
Yeah,
in 2019.
It is. It's great, because one of the androids had it manufactured in 2016, and, like, someone's up to something here.
Okay, so for all the people who don't really know what the fuck it's about, can we kind of go over the plot? Because I can honestly describe
Kate,
it to you right now.
Would you like to describe the plot
of the movie first? Yeah.
Okay, so the basic plot of the movie is that, basically, World War III happens. Everything is all derelict. A lot of people have gone to other planets for colonies there. And then the people that are left, they've banned androids because they murdered a whole bunch of people. So basically, the main character, Deckard, is charged with hunting down any androids who happen to show up in the area. And so
he's a Blade Runner.
Right, which is Blade Runner. And there's four escaped androids during the course of the movie that he has to hunt down and retire.
Air quotes.
Since that's their term for murder.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
Yes.
Is it really murder if they're a machine?
Well,
that's kind of the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the movie, and
is
that's the
really
first thing to talk about.
Murder,
is it murder if it's machines? Are they people? What is a person? And we're going to solve that today on Zitsa.
Can we kind of talk about that Ghost in the Shell?
We're definitely
yes, in fact, there's
that.
A lot of similarities between Ghost in the Shell and Blade Runner.
I think
except
it was like,
that Blade Runner is way better adaptation.
I would agree.
Way better.
And I like
adaptation
Ghost
of what?
Of
like
the
original source material.
So they're okay, so we're just disregarding what the source material is saying.
Correct. I'm saying that Blade
just
Runner the movie
standpoint.
Does a better job of keeping the same themes of the original source material
anyway.
Than Ghost in the Shell.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
There was no.
Would you like to weigh in?
Where are you going?
I'm gonna go here.
And I think that you'll find that a lot in films of the 70s and 80s that are adaptations, as opposed to common.
Well, and I mean, the kind of what I've talked about before with, I think the last time when we talked about Ghost in the Shell, is that there's a tendency to dumb down some of the more philosophical aspects of stories like man versus machine. Like Ghost in the Shell was really bad with that, where it just dumbed everything down to basic, like, corporations are evil. And, you
well,
know...
Well, to be fair, I think you might feel a little bit different about that if you've not seen the director's cut.
Oh,
I want to say
Blade Runner?
Yeah, I want to say one
that's
of
interesting.
The biggest differences is that there's a lot of voiceover and exposition
I've
explaining the minutia
that version.
Of what's going on. It's not as bad. It's not as just like, here you go, here's our themes. Let us hit you over the head with it.
Well, I just like that Blade Runner actually includes that, because that was my biggest gripe about Ghost in the Shell, was like, the source material had these really great ideas about where's the line between man and machine and all of that. That's a really fun thing to explore.
A lot of
and they didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And then you have Blade Runner, and they actually get into that. Like, it was just so much better in terms of they didn't take everything from the book.
They kept the
but
spirit.
They kept the spirit of it. They kept enough of it that you could see the similarities.
Kind of like Game of Thrones as an adaptation, or where people match teeth, but they got a lot.
Kind
of
similar, also iRobot.
Which one?
The movie that was made is very much in the spirit of the collection of short stories that comprise iRobot. It's not a direct correlation.
Yeah,
there's been like 4 adaptations of that.
The one with
Will Smith. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like that much because it bothered me how much they deviated. But I see what you're saying, and that it
kept
the spirit.
I think it kept true to the spirit of
the
whole thing.
It did a good job of, again, all of these movies, iRobot, Ghost in the Shell, Blade Runner, even some of the other ones, what was the other movie, the adaptation with the woman, I can't remember what it was, but some of those terrible adaptations, they all do a great job of maintaining an aesthetic.
I want to know why that movie has garnered so much cult following. Like,
which
there's
one?
Literally nothing to it besides the fucking movie we're talking about. This entire podcast on it.
Oh, did we?
Well, we're recording it, but we also I just listed like a bunch of movies, so that's why I was confused.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're on.
Because I was saying that those do a good job of maintaining an aesthetic, even if they lose a lot of the background. So it gets tricky as to what part of the movie you want
or
you like.
No, so I'm just defending the three laws safe. Idea behind iRobot and all the short stories, like, it's yes, they are doing exactly what they're programmed to do, you just don't understand why.
Yeah,
that's all the short stories, and that was that movie as well.
Okay, that's
so.
Fair, I get that.
Can you close that window?
But I don't wanna.
Is it nice? Is it blown in?
I mean, I'm cooler.
Okay, cool, never mind. I thought it was making it hotter, but yeah, if it's not, then
film did win the Hugo Award.
So, Kyle.
The Hugo K. Dick Award,
yeah,
Hugo Award for Best Dramatic
Hugo Dick. Dick.
Huge O Dick.
That's
the
point. That's the award
Thanks,
that
Chris.
I wish I won.
It's actually the Murphy Award, the Huge O Dick Award.
So anyway, Kyle.
I think it deserved to win the Huge.
Wait, are you talking about iRobot or
about
Blade
Runner?
Blade
Runner.
So Kyle,
I think it did. I think it's one of the best adaptations I've seen.
In sci-fi or in general?
So,
in general, because
okay.
I mean, I don't think you see it. You may not necessarily. I don't think that Blade Runner is the best movie for everybody ever, but it's a beautiful movie that, if you have the patience for it, has a pretty significant payoff at the end, as far as like the things that it talks about and the actors in it are great, as far especially Rutger Hauer. As far as like portraying the emotion and like the line
who's
between
Rutger Hauer
in
that movie?
Rutger
he's
Hauer.
He's bad. He's the super
the
tall,
main,
big Android.
Yeah. And he wears his underwear for the whole last part of the movie.
Yeah, when they're on the roof. And
yeah,
because
he's crazy.
Well, because he's just. I mean, he portrays that crazy. I've seen shit you're never gonna see, and it's gonna be gone because I'm gonna be dead in a couple of years, type of thing. Like my lifespan is like 4 years, and all this shit's gonna be gone forever.
So, Kyle, you said you didn't understand what people liked that movie or why it got such a big
deal. Yeah, I don't understand, because there's, like, people who make, like, replica Blade Runner stuff, and there's, like, this, what I would consider semi-cult following to the movie, and I don't really, there's nothing else around it that I know of besides the fact that it's based on a short story.
It's not a short story.
Okay,
it's not a book or whatever. It's
a full novel. It's not what I would consider.
But there's no extended canon.
No, well, I mean, technically they did add, like, tie in to Blade Runner 2 and Blade Runner 3, but they were all shitty. So.
Like the books?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, the biggest
the
premise?
Oh, yeah, it's a novel. Yeah.
Huh?
Did Dick write those?
No.
So, the biggest premise and the reason that it probably garnered the most is that Blade Runner, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is a fantastic novel in its own right and has a lot going for it, but the movie Blade Runner is responsible, because it was 82.
Yes.
That's a good year.
It was a very good year. And
in fact, it involved it.
So, it helped establish what became the cyberpunk aesthetic. It's responsible.
Jesus,
it's the progenitor for quite a bit of the cyberpunk style. Like, Netrunner?
When was Neuromancer written?
80, I think.
No, when it was written, but less so, but I mean the visual aesthetic of the movie.
Well, yeah,
you've got to remember that the novel, the Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, came out in 68.
Yeah, it's
old.
The book is old.
Is that really true? Like, Blade Runner was the first cyberpunk.
It was one of the progenitors.
It's not the first cyberpunk, but it heavily influenced
the term
cyberpunk
was not
genre.
Used until after that movie. And the description of that world. Okay, let me put it this way. If you go back and watch Blade Runner now, you'll be like, oh, that looks like, you know, Firefly. Oh, that looks like Cowboy Bebop. Oh,
that's
that looks
like when I watched
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, like, you go back and watch all those things. And you watch, and it, that, when Blade Runner came out, it didn't look like anything. It was the first one to do that aesthetic of the, you know, the light two umbrellas, the neon signs, or
the
geisha eating
the
something.
Wait. 79 was Alien. That's a movie that was very, like, futuristic.
If you were sci-fi.
But not in the same way.
There's certainly lots of
I felt like it was just as gritty. Someone leaving.
Yeah. Didn't have the same dystopian feel.
It was just as gritty.
It's not necessarily the gritty. It's not just
giant corporations running mining facilities.
That's straight sci-fi.
Cyberpunk is a combination of things. So, like, it can be gritty and dark without being cyberpunk. It has to have certain aspects to it to be cyberpunk.
And those elements
and
were
Blade Runner has them.
Like what?
So you have to have the dystopian atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. It's
got to
be raining.
You have to have heavy tech involvement, like either people augmenting themselves or having some kind of android.
Right now, for those two criteria, Alien falls into that. There's
it's
very dystopian.
At the same time, you also have a gritty modern aspect to it, where it's not genuine sci-fi. There's a little bit of this whole, like, there's still cigarettes on butts in the street.
High-tech, low life.
Yeah. There you go. High-tech,
Whereas
low life.
Whereas Alien, at least in the beginning, kind of has a more uplifting feel. Like, we're exploring space. We're
tends to be in a lot of situations where, like, the rich have, like, a whole bunch of, like, very large, like their life is really good, and all the poor is really, really destitute. And
yeah,
the disparity is huge.
True of cyberpunk, but I think you can make all the. I'm with Kyle, and I think you can make all those arguments. I think the thing that makes cyberpunk is it's always about the technology.
Well, there's
it's
another.
Not
element.
About monsters.
There's another.
It's
element.
Not about space. It's about the technology.
There's
and
another piece about
also
this.
Also tends to incorporate noir.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of film noir stuff in there. And that's a big part where Deckard is he's basically an old school gumshoe walking around. He's got the coat, he's got the pistol in his pocket. He's very much, you know, an old school detective character.
It's hilarious.
But the biggest
part
book,
he's a total loser.
Yeah. But well he's,
so
he's
the book
it's worth saying it's worth
like,
again
he's not a badass gumshoe in the book.
It's worth noting that the book is not what's responsible for the cyberpunk stuff. The movie is responsible.
Whereas I would say Neuromancer is also heavily
Neuromancer
part of the cyberpunk.
Neuromancer.
You can't talk cyberpunk without talking Neuromancer.
Shit.
All
right. Let's go. Good luck.
Yeah, Wikipedia notes of this proto-cyberpunk do androids dream of electricity.
So the reason this comes up is Neuromancer is responsible for a lot of what cyberpunk became in literary terms, but a lot of the visual aesthetics were defined and articulated in Blade Runner. Now, Alien has a lot of those, has a lot of characteristics, but it doesn't have the visual aesthetics, the environmental aesthetics that became
big
cyberpunk.
Slow moving fans in Alien.
There are slow moving fans in Highlander 2 as well. And we don't talk
so
about
Highlander 2 is cyberpunk. That's the name of the episode.
I would say that in a lot of ways you can label Alien as possibly cyberpunk. But it didn't really.
I guess I don't necessarily think Alien is cyberpunk. I'm just trying to get at why
the biggest,
cyberpunk
the biggest
is
thing,
different than
the
just
last
Alien
part about
cyberpunk,
and I'm trying to get to this, but I keep getting distracted because I might be inebriated, is cyberpunk,
oh
the punk part about cyberpunk is that it's almost always an individual going against the established system.
Does Deckard do that in the movie, really?
He's kind of, you know, he's a rogue cop with nothing to lose.
Well, and the whole idea
it.
With Blade Runner is that he's fighting this idea of hunting down androids. He's starting to empathize with them.
Yeah,
so
he's
like,
retired.
He's having to fight the idea that he's going to continue hunting them as
now,
they want him to.
So the cyberpunk, one of the characteristics of a cyberpunk story is that it is usually a lone person or small group of people fighting against the establishment, the corporations, whatever. You've got like The Matrix, which is arguably a cyberpunk kind of thing, because it's the small group of people fighting against the robots. You've got, I mean, there's a lot of books that follow this too, but that's like the last piece to make it cyberpunk, is cyberpunk stories never center around the corporations or the cops or the government. They're always the lone hackers, the weirdos on the street, the low lives, the people who are rising against the system. That's the punk part, cyberpunk
so
and steampunk.
It's about the people in the streets.
Yeah.
Not people city hall.
Yeah, not the people city hall. People on the street.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is basically an idea of where is the corruption line, you know?
That's where a lot of those elements come in there, but the part, like, Alien as an environment, as an aesthetic, could have cyberpunk, but that world that it created could have a cyberpunk story in it, but instead they have a monster movie.
Yeah, it's a horror,
horror movie. No. Well, which
like,
is where it's tricky.
They have an android, and there's literally things in the movie that make you think about whether or not he's a person.
Which is why that's the last piece out of it. All the things there, when we're talking about an environment that they're in, like Firefly.
It's like saying Home Alone's a movie about pizza.
Well, like Firefly
is an
example.
Not, because the android in Alien is a large part
of
the plot.
And it's not,
the plot doesn't center on
fixating on the android part. It's not that there's androids.
But you're talking about technology and robotics. Every example you brought up of cyberpunk has been against robots.
And it's mostly, it's not just about the robots.
It's
about what type, what archetype of story is being used. The archetype of the story that's used in Alien isn't the same for Starpoint. Now, having said that, the world in which Alien exists could definitely have story.
I disagree.
Punk,
like
the
juxtaposition of an android to human is the same of any monster
that's,
movie.
Forget the android thing.
The juxtaposition of technology as something that's foreign to the human.
I don't think
is,
that the technology is the critical part that defines
decided,
it. It's one of the elements.
It's more about technology possibly dehumanizing us.
And the other
part,
the
idea of cyberpunk being about the individual.
The other part about
like
it is that a world isn't cyberpunk. A story is cyberpunk.
Sure.
A that world can be sci-fi and have a cyberpunk character or story in it.
Yeah.
So the world of Alien could totally have a cyberpunk story. If that story was about that android rising up against the, what's it, the Weyland Corporation?
Yeah.
Weyland Yutani?
Yeah. If the story was about him and his buddies rising up against that corporation.
What about Robocop? Robocop cyberpunk?
That's a good question.
I haven't watched that in a long time. But
Robocop is, it fits a lot of the things we're talking about.
I think you could
it's
argue
could probably call it,
yeah,
you could probably
not,
call
but
it.
But it's not genre-defining in the way
it's
labeled.
Is it feature?
No, hold on,
I'm trying to figure out why other people do, but
I would say that you could probably call Robocop cyberpunk-esque. It's got elements of it. It's a little weird that he is, as it progresses, it's got elements of it. I don't know that it's quite as easy to say it is a great example of it.
Yeah.
But you could probably say that, again, like we talked on our genre podcast, like if you talk about Game of Thrones as a period accurate historic piece, it's garbage. But in the same way, like if you talk about Mary Poppins in terms of a horror movie, it's also terrible. So it's all about the right lens through which you look at it. And if you look at Robocop as cyberpunk, you could probably be like, it's okay. But
well, a lot depends on like what
it's
being marketed as too.
Absolutely.
Know?
That's one of the examples where
true.
Movies really drop the ball sometimes. Like if you sold Alien as a love story, you'd really have a rough go of it.
Right.
It's a garbage love story.
Would you consider
it's really rapey.
Would you consider Fifth Element cyberpunk?
Yes,
absolutely.
How about Valerian?
I haven't seen it.
Yes and no?
I don't know. It's lacking some of the like technology.
It seems more sci-fi to me.
Yeah, it's more of high action sci-fi, and that's another problem is that genres just, like they bump up to each other.
Remember, we talked about this before. Don't think about things as you know. It is this genre. It's more like you can perceive it as that genre.
And so describe
it in those terms.
Genre is extremely fluid.
That's what I'm saying.
Can we look at Valerian enough to see it as a cyberpunk movie? Is what
I think as cyberpunk, it sounds like it'd be kind of an odd example.
I've literally had the same type of conversation with music. Like,
you could have a
genres
really
are descriptive, not prescriptive.
Cyberpunk story happen inside that world, though? Especially the Junk Town or whatever. Or it's not Junk Town, but the Big Market. I guess not enough people would see.
I've never seen that. I've been meaning to. So
Big Market was amazing. You'll love it when you see it.
Here's a question, and like here's an example. Like, is Firefly steampunk? Sorry, cyberpunk. It's definitely steampunk. Sorry, when we went to that steampunk cyberpunk panel at DCC,
like
and
an argument to make Firefly a weird Western. Like,
no, it is definitely Western.
But specifically like weird Western.
Yes.
Like,
so again, with the genres, you can look at Firefly as a half a dozen different things. But would you call it cyberpunk?
I wouldn't.
Less so.
It's about the technology. They're rising up against the corporations. It's a plucky young band of small individuals. Why is it not cyberpunk?
It's been described that way.
So. It has been. Why
but it also
not?
Has been argued against.
I think it's aesthetic. Because
the technology doesn't.
The technology takes a way backseat to everything else. And for me, if it's not front and center,
the technology is pretty prominent
to
in that show, though.
No,
not
in the way that generally cyberpunk is.
It's a
not,
different technology,
not
but it's
life altering, like.
Honey,
we
live in a spaceship.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I brought the list up in Johnny Mnemonics on it, and I'm like, oh shit,
that
movie's definitely
That doesn't make it
cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the following year, too.
If you're talking cyberpunk, you're talking augmentation, you're talking hackers,
Is Dread cyberpunk?
I think I think you can make that argument.
I think Dredd could be considered cyberpunk.
I think the main thing for me is that there's characters in Firefly that would fit in a cyberpunk story.
So, again, could you write a cyberpunk? So if you had a story that wrote about that talked about Mr. Universe, could it be considered a cyberpunk?
Yes.
Okay,
I would argue that.
So the world could have cyberpunk in it.
Yes.
Dredd is anti-cyberpunk because it's about the man coming down on
it. It's like an anti-cyberpunk. But you could totally write a cyberpunk story in the Judge Dredd universe.
Yeah, well, so...
How about Tron?
I just recently... Oh.
Ooh. I think Tron is probably...
I don't know about Tron.
Tron being modern time is tough. I don't think it's considered cyberpunk because it takes place in the present.
Yeah, I guess cyberpunk's also sort of dystopian.
You've got to be a little bit disconnected.
Oh, yeah, Tron's not dystopian exact. Well...
Yeah. And it depends on what you're looking at.
You've got to be disconnected, I think, from the time frame. So, here's the one. Go ahead.
The computer world inside Tron is pretty dystopian. So.
That's true. So, here's the big question. Warhammer 40K.
Is it cyberpunk?
Aspects, definitely. Not.
There are certainly cyberpunk stories. If you have a story about a tech priest, that's cyberpunk.
But if you're just talking about, like, Tau versus Tyranid, nah.
All right, I got the master list of cyberpunk films.
I just looked at that.
All right.
Tron is listed. RoboCop is listed.
Yeah,
interesting.
Terminator's listed.
Escape from New York, which was a little surprising.
Okay. Escape from New York, I guess I could see that.
That's like fringe.
There's some crazy technology.
These are on that score. Like, this is a terrible cyberpunk movie. So, Mary Poppins.
Judge Dredd from 95. Here's a really interesting one.
Go ahead.
So Pi. Son of fucking...
Pi. Really?
What's Pi?
Pi is Aronofsky's first movie.
Film. Yeah.
It's black and white, and it's about a guy that's building his own computer.
He built a computer, he's able to predict movement in the stock market.
Well, but on top of that, he finds, like, this equation that people think is revealing God to him. And,
it's like 216 digits.
And
very Hebrew.
And then he takes... Well, spoiler alert, but this movie's so old, I don't care. He ends up taking a drill to his head so that he doesn't have to think about these things anymore.
As we would all do.
Fair enough. Yes. I don't know that I use a drill. I have a lot more interesting weapons I would use.
Hand drill.
Well, no, he just lobotomizes himself slightly.
Okay.
And they actually kind of actually use one drill to their own head.
He did it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dredd is listed. And the upcoming Blade Runner film, obviously.
What do we? I mean. And it's got. With this list, I don't care. Okay.
What's going on?
What a.
Hi, kids.
What's up?
Hello.
Mom, on a scale from 1 to 10, how many shots of Fireball have you had?
So what?
On a scale from 1 to 10, how many shots of Fireball have you had?
I have not had any.
Yeah, fucking right.
Nope, I did not. I refused. I refused.
Okay, so how many of those Jello shots did you have?
75.
On a scale from 1 to 10, right?
At least half of that cooler.
So scale of 1 to 10, 75, yes.
And it's not a quantity. That's
I
actually
had, like,
scale.
Way too many.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's Labor Day.
Do you need a wheelchair?
Once a year, I get drunk. And
Amy bought a wagon that we used to move. We can tool you around.
It's so cool. It's green.
A green wagon?
Yeah, it's a gorilla wagon.
We're recording a podcast.
And I just kind of fell
Are
on
you? Hi.
Oh.
My mom's now a guest on the
podcast.
You're
now a guest on the podcast.
You don't listen to it, but you're a guest now.
There's no video.
Yeah.
You're
damn it.
You're ostensibly famous now.
Oh, look, there's now video.
We have been talking about putting video.
So what are we talking
about?
Look
at you.
We were talking about Blade
Cyberpunk.
Runner.
Blade
Cyberpunk.
Runner.
Yep, we just watched it again.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
How about...
Has Harrison Ford in it?
It does have Harrison Ford in it.
And Edward James.
Yeah, Edward James Olmos.
What a young one.
Yeah.
I missed him the first few times.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Like, the first few times. I didn't realize him. I didn't know him.
It's like
so,
a baby Adama.
He's younger than the young Adama. And
so listing the list of films in 82 that were nominated for a Hugo but lost to Blade Runner.
Yeah.
It's an interesting list. The Road Warrior.
Oh!
Yes.
The Dark Crystal.
Okay, time out. Is Road Warrior cyberpunk?
No.
Dystopian. Not cyberpunk.
I agree.
The technology is the core. It's about the individual.
It's
dystopian.
It's not high tech. It's low tech.
Yeah.
You're being a troll now.
It's not my fault this is happening.
Oh, God. I'm really stuck here. Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Chewie, you have to fight those dogs.
It's not my fault this is happening.
So, what is this?
So I don't know what's going to happen out of this recording. Something's happening. So,
hi, I'm Kyle's mom.
You're hitting levels on the mic right now.
Oh, it's Labor Day.
We're maxing it the fuck out. All right, so
I'm leaving.
Bye, Kyle's mom.
Bye.
Testicle Play-Doh fun.
Sorry, I ruined your thing.
You didn't ruin it.
You're fine.
You
made it. The magic of editing. So anyway,
so
no, I'm not trolling. I'm trying to test our yardstick.
I don't think
you can make the argument the Road Warrior is.
Well, that's what I'm trying to test it. It's
your pump.
So what? Yeah, right. Diesel pump
your
would be
diesel.
The.
Oh, diesel.
Yeah. So the reason I say that is I want to articulate. You're talking high tech. So it's not just about the technology. The technology has to be suitably different from our own. And a level of advancement beyond ours, right?
Right.
It has to be an alien level of tech, like an inaccessible level of technology by today's standards. So,
well, I don't know. We got the creepy Japanese talking robots.
That's true. But I mean, all I'm trying to do is more rigorously define these characteristics. It's got to be about the individual. It's got to be dystopian.
What about soft cyberpunk versus hard cyberpunk?
Go and fuck your hat.
Okay, I don't think you can make an argument for soft.
I think it's hard. It's not hard and soft. It's high and low.
Well, an argument would be like the Road Warrior would be.
What
like
about
hard
soft
cyberpunk,
high
right?
hard punk?
Why would it be hard?
Because it's more realistically related. It's more like. Closely
now
related
he's trolling
time.
You.
No,
that's how hard works.
Well,
that's
because
hard
science. Fiction typically isn't just that it's more realistic, it's that you can actually derive that from technology now. It's heavily involved in terms of, like, explains
all
the
science.
So then
is all cyberpunk hard sci-fi?
It's
like Michael Crichton versus...
As we've mentioned on the podcast before, I have no respect for the hard, soft, high, low terminology in fantasy and sci-fi.
Well, because the only reason you
it's
have
the stupidest
that
classification
is hard sci-fi is talking about technology and science versus soft sci-fi, which is... It's called soft sci-fi because it's the soft science.
It's more theoretical.
Because it's less about
right.
penetration
it's
and more about showing
boobs
and things.
It's archaeology and these things that aren't like...
I got that.
Yeah.
Engineering
or
and mathematics.
To a point. Like, and it's all subjective. There's no defining line.
It's a stupid distinction.
I hate
but
it.
Like, that's why I think you can't have hard and soft cyberpunk because that's
doesn't
just not something you can apply to a subgenre like that. Not easy.
Yeah.
Race.
Well, I think that the technology is pretty established. Like,
well, and it's just not like to me at least. I mean, I don't know that this is necessarily genre definition, but to me, if it's hard sci-fi, it's got to be talking about the tech and the science behind whatever the world structure is. And cyberpunk doesn't do that much. Like Gibson does, but Dick doesn't at all.
Right. It's really just like these are things that exist.
Right.
Watch out with the crosstalk because we're going to have a lot of issues with crosstalk. So try to stick to one conversation at a time.
So there's an interesting story called Wool.
Which I was going to say this earlier when she said don't read the graphic novel for Do Androids Scream or Like or Sheep? Don't read the graphic novel for Wool because it is terrible. The art's good. I liked the art a lot. But so Wool is an interesting dystopian future where everyone's lived in a silo underground for who knows how long, generations, and they're just doing their best to survive and not devolve into anarchy. And the story takes place during one of the devolvements into anarchy. And it's great, but because the technology is there, but it's not like high tech.
But it is somebody like fighting against a system.
Yeah, but it's more just dystopian, it's not cyberpunk.
So the big thing about this is, I think that the defining characteristics is you've got to have at least those three elements.
Okay, so the three elements from Sid Sock's decision of what cyberpunk is
about the
semi-erect cyberpunk is what we're talking about. Six to midnight.
Some penetration, but not a lot.
You can't see. You can tell that it's penetrating. You're just going to see two things rubbing together.
Yeah.
It's like an elbow, but they just zoom in.
It's Japanese, so it's all blurred out. So the characteristics are that it's got to be dystopian in a sense that it's in a future that's alien to our current world enough to be different, to be other-like. It's got to have that element.
So everybody agrees on that criteria.
It's in the future, but it's got to be a different future than where we are now.
Voted. Okay.
Technology has to be a very defining characteristic and core to the story.
Okay, we all like that one,
and
too?
Significantly advanced.
And advanced. High technology. Stuff that is, again, alien from ourselves.
You use the terms you just said you hated.
High
technology.
You son
of a bitch. You goddamn
No, I got high.
All right, what's the last one?
And the last one is that it focuses, the story, so those are the environment, the story focuses on individuals or a small group rebelling against a larger oppressive totalitarian government or corporate entity.
Yeah.
Something acting as a government.
Yeah.
They're being
oppressive. An oppressive organization.
An oppressive regime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that all this Hours of Borderlands play, I've been playing.
Borderlands, I think,
it's
is
like
absolutely
the epitome of
the
cyberpunk
epitome.
Game.
Yeah.
I think Borderlands is absolutely Fallout is definitely
Fallout.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think both of those are absolutely cyberpunk stories because you're all is playing as the individual
against
all those other fuckers.
All those other fuckers.
Crazy ass.
Those fuckers.
Technology.
So yeah.
Okay.
Basically, what we learned in Overwatch is also cyberpunk, and so
really,
I don't know.
We're calling Overwatch cyberpunk.
I don't know. I'm just gonna go
you
with that.
You can make the argument that Overwatch is cyberpunk.
I don't think Overwatch fits dystopian enough.
Yeah, the world is falling apart from war.
Yeah, there's Jack.
Robots are taking over.
Shit.
They already got off kill, I thought.
No, that's you're fighting them.
What?
Backstory.
No, the
like
the Omnics?
Like the whole Bastion thing made me feel like it was done. Like
no, they're
back.
Back. Those points. The second Omnic War started.
To be quite honest, we could do a whole podcast on the Overwatch story because I don't get a fucking clue of it.
Oh,
like,
there's a lot of it.
It's so dismantled and weird, and I've been
oh, we're at, like,
it. In
we're probably let's wrap this up.
Or we run out of the.
I don't
no,
know.
We just like to keep them at like 30 minutes.
Well, I don't know because this one might get edited. It might not. We'll see how drunk I am.
Can I list the other?
Oh, yes. Let's finish the list and then call it.
Okay.
Yes. Are we listing?
These are the films that lost to Blade Runner and the Hugo Award.
Oh, yeah. Let's wrap this up.
The Hugo
So the Road Warrior, The Dark Crystal.
Not Cyberpunk.
E.T.
Definitely not Cyberpunk.
So totally.
Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan.
Sorry.
Totally
very nice. Elite company with those five.
Yeah, that's actually those
I
are some solid movies.
Very elite company.
That is impressive.
I would bet money that the reason it beat every single one of those is that it's a good adaptation of a book that's largely considered a classic of sci-fi.
I was gonna say Harrison Ford was really hot right there.
I just saw the part where like there was
because Harrison Ford and Rutger Hauer were both super hot right there. And Harrison Ford took his shirt off for a while and got. Rapey in that one scene, but
he's raping a lot.
Really
so
rapey.
Yeah,
he got like I was watching like, wow, that's really rapey.
It's uncomfortable to watch.
But it's okay because she's a robot.
Sure.
Maybe.
Well,
not
okay.
Only
maybe.
Well,
no,
that's the
robot.
Whole point
no,
of the story.
No, no, no.
Is
that
okay
one. That one's
she's
definitely.
Robot.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Robots
to rape
can't give consent.
They can't.
On that note, I'm stopping it.
Robots can't give you consent. So sorry.
Like, comment, subscribe,
and
if and you dare.
Go fuck yourself.
And no, we're not doing that anymore.
I'm
that's
do
so
it.
Last
okay.
week.
Aaron's doing it. Bye-bye.
That's
like
what we're doing.